in his new History of the Aphorism, The World in a Phrase. Journalist James Geary turns to the great aphorist Mark Twain for a pithy definition, a minimum of sound to a maximum of sense. James Geary has been collecting aphorisms since he was a little boy, obsessed with the quotable quotes section of the Reader's Digest. He joins us from London, where he's the European editor for Time magazine. Hello.
Good morning.
Aphorisms have quite a fine pedigree, I mean, dating back to the Greeks and before. One of the more famous ones that you have in the book from a Greek philosopher, it begins, "One cannot step twice into the same river." Famous aphorism.
That's right. That's Heraclitus. And I think that's a great example of how, what I say in the book is that aphorisms are actually the oldest form of written literature. And in fact, I believe it was the Chinese who first developed the form in a book called the I Ching, which is known in English as the Book of Changes. And what I think is most fascinating about the aphorisms are not meant to make you feel good about yourself. They're actually meant to challenge you and to wake you up.
Well, you quote the Prophet Muhammad in several aphorisms, one of which particularly brings one down to earth, which is,
"Trust in God, but tether your camel first." I think that's one of my all-time favorite aphorisms. And the Quran was dictated to Muhammad by Allah. At least that's what Muslims believe. But there's another group of sayings that is called the Hadith, which are the actual sayings of Muhammad himself. And he always said that the Hadith, his own sayings, were just the sayings of an ordinary man. And the ordinary man that's revealed through the Hadith is a very, very down-to-earth person who's got a great sense of humor.
Let's move back a bit. What are the elements of a good aphorism, or even the necessary elements of any aphorism?
Well, I came up with five laws that an aphorism must obey if it is to be an aphorism. First of all, it must be brief. It must be definitive. Samuel Johnson, one of his great aphorisms, "To build is to be robbed." That's a definition. Third law is they must be personal. They must be stamped with the identity of the person who first said it or wrote it. It must have a twist, some clever turn of phrase or some kind of logistical leap. And lastly, they must be philosophical. That's to say, they must go beyond themselves to kind of reach some philosophical point or make some philosophical point. So I think these five laws separate aphorisms from the other kind of mundane sayings that we have.
Here in America, Benjamin Franklin, "He who lies down with dogs shall rise up with fleas," Mark Twain, Dorothy Parker much later, "Men seldom make passes at girls who wear glasses." These are all fun and probably completely philosophically true, I suppose. But the high mark of aphorisms would seem to have been set here by a few philosophers, Emerson, Henry David Thoreau.
Mm-hmm.
Emerson has one very beautiful aphorism that you put right at the front of your book.
Oh, yes. That's a gorgeous aphorism. It's Ralph Waldo Emerson. "Life consists of what a man is thinking of all day." It's a great example of the way that I believe, in any case, that aphorisms can really change your life. Because if you think about it, life is not—it's not your job. It's not necessarily the things that you do. It's more your inner life, your mental life. And there's a wonderful aphorism that I first read, and I think it must have been in Reader's Digest quotable quotes. "The difference between a rut and a grave is the depth." And I think about it every single day when I'm walking to the tube station to go to work. And it's a reminder that, you know, how my day is going to go is totally up to me. It's totally up to down to my attitude toward it.
One aphorism that you cite is Nathaniel Hawthorne's wife, Sophia Hawthorne. She has an aphorism that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words and
yes,
a date, 1843, that says everything.
This is a very beautiful story, and in a way it summarizes exactly what aphorisms are and what aphorisms do. Sophia Hawthorne was Nathaniel Hawthorne's wife, and she lived in Concord, Massachusetts with him, in fact in the house that Ralph Waldo Emerson used to live in. And she was in the habit, she was a painter, and she was in the habit of inscribing little sayings on the windows of the house. On an upstairs window, she inscribed the words, "Man's accidents are God's purposes." Nobody really is sure why she wrote that. Around the time that was written, she is believed to have had a miscarriage. But for me, the saying is beautiful. It's a sort of, it has a sense of resignation about it, but it also has an overpowering sense of strength and determination.
You know, what about now? in modern times. Is there anything that sets aphorisms that may be generated today from those in the past?
I think the aphorism is still serving the same purpose it has always served. But I think, for example, the internet gives us a whole new way to use aphorisms. Jenny Holzer, who's a contemporary performance artist, I guess you would call her, she does wonderful aphorisms and is using technology to really change the way that people can experience an aphorism.
Give us an example.
I'm going to open the book right now. Playing it safe can cause a lot of damage in the long run. And this one I like a lot myself. Enjoy yourself because you can't change anything anyway. And so she has these on the digital boards on Times Square, and they've been on T-shirts and baseball caps and things like that. So I think while the aphorism is doing what it has always done, it can do it in a lot more different ways now and a lot more interesting ways. And I think on the internet, for example, by allowing people to actually feed back into an aphorism, it encourages aphoristic thinking, which is critical thinking. And I think that's not only a good thing, but it's a lot of fun.
James Geary, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
James Geary is the author of The World in a Phrase, A Brief History of the Aphorism. He spoke with us from London, and if you're still having an appetite for wise words, you can get your fill with more of James Geary's picks at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.